And joining me now, the hero of the day, my friend Al Batt. Good morning, Al.
Hey, good morning. Thanks to Lori and Dave. That's awfully nice of you. And I have to say, Dwayne did a wonderful job at the graduation ceremony. That can be a hard thing. I know people, they say their names to you, and you get a little card with their name on. But, you know, that's still that can be a daunting task, getting everybody's name right. You don't want to screw up somebody's name. So he did a wonderful job.
Well, and I bet he said Joey Batt. Is that right?
He did get Joey Batt.
You know, yeah. I did the one the day before on Friday, so I didn't get Joey, but I wish I would have. But, it's a lot of names, and you really want to say them correctly because, you know, this is a big moment for these students who have worked so hard. So some of them will write things out phonetically, which is always funny because their phonetics and what I think of some phonetics are a lot different. Like, you might put a line on it, and I would think it was Al Batt, and then they'd put some weird marking, and I would say Al Bait or something, and then they're like, what? Well, why did you put a... Anyway, it's always a challenge, but it's fun.
It was interesting, you know, how some people had their mortars decorated, and some were... almost somber. They were in such a serious, because everybody's different, but Joey had this huge smile, so she was just happy to. So, and I wrote something about her summa cum laude or lauda, whichever.
I always say summa cum laude. I've heard it different ways, but some say summa cum laude, some say summa cum laude, and I would just say laude, and nobody's corrected me, so I just say that.
I think they're all right. You know, the idiot that I am, I was in a hurry to get it out, and it was like 2 in the morning or something.
Oh, no.
I've been working all day, and I misspelled summa, so I sent it out to everybody. So all my relatives are saying, what an idiot. No wonder he'll never graduate summa cum laude. He doesn't even know how to spell it. So, but we're very proud of her. It was a pretty cool thing. Congratulations mainly to you, Karen, for the Claire Faust Award, and Dwayne, for you guys just swept the award table, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, Dwayne was awarded from our University Advancement Division, and I got from the president the Claire Faust Service Award. And you know, I do a lot of things, but I love doing it, so it never feels like work, and so it's all good. I appreciate you acknowledgement.
And the $50,000 award that comes with each one of them, you know, that's not the most important part. It's the service. We realize that. So.
You know, if there was $50,000, Al, I'd just give it to KMSU, and then we'd be done with the pledge drive already.
There you go. Yeah. I want to thank everybody that came to Myrie Big Island for the bird walk on, that was early Saturday morning in the pouring rain. So it's nice to know that there are people as crazy as I am to get out in there and walk around. Thanks, everybody, too, at the First Presbyterian Church in Mankato. I enjoyed your company. This morning I have starlings on the suet feeder, so now, you know, my cat will go up and paw the window to scare them away, but then she grows weary and needs a nap, so then the starlings come in because it's window feeder. So now what I do is I just watch them and say, starling, starling, first starling I see today, I wish I might, I wish I may have this wish I wish today. So I just wish upon a starling, and I think that's maybe the easiest way to get along with them. I don't dislike starlings, but boy, they are pigs at a trough. they just woof that it down like there's no tomorrow. The woodpeckers, they'll come in one at a time and pick a little bit and look around, but the starlings, they come in and they fight over it, and they have a lot of human characteristics. So they come in there and they fight over it and they holler, and I still like them because it's May, and May never leaves me dismayed. We got 9/10 of an inch last night, so boy, we're just moving up that rain gauge every day. Everyone should go outdoors today, if for no other reason than it's safer than going out windows. So go outdoors. It was a gee whiz morning. We have those. It's just great to get outside and you say, wow, this is.
Gee whiz.
I grew up where Yeah, gee whiz, we used to say as kids, or golly, gee whiz and golly. And my mom, whenever we'd say things like that, she'd always kind of have to think about it, and we didn't have Google to look up because she was afraid we were trying to sneak a cuss word in and disguise a cuss word, you know. So gee whiz was all right, so we could say gee whiz. But it was a gee whiz morning for me, but it was a soggy day for the birds. The suet feeders had a rush of this business made up of rose-breasted grosbeaks, brown thrashers, woodpeckers, all three of them, downy, hairy, and red-bellied, starlings, nuthatches, chickadees, blue jays. They're all feeding on the suet. It's the time of the whistling sparrows in my yard, and I love the company of white-throated Harrises and white-crowned sparrows. It's also a time when I remember how much I enjoy wren and thrasher music. They're both singing constantly in my yard, and it's like hearing a nearly forgotten Etta James song. You all know how it is. You like some singer, and John Prine's one of my favorite, and every so often I'll hear, oh boy, I'd nearly forgotten that song of his that I enjoyed so much. And that's kind of how it is when the wrens and thrashers leave after a while. We get on with life, and it was so nice to hear them. When I was out at Myrie Big Island State Park, life is made up of little moments, and I was thrilled to see meadowlarks flapping with a short, stiff, grouse-like wing beats and gliding as I listened to the snoring sounds of leopard frogs. Yeah, their calls are they're inspiring only to other leopard frogs. And I was doing all that when I noticed a great egret, these beautiful tall white birds, and it's standing right in the middle of the road. And why didn't the egret cross the road? Because a pair of Canada geese wouldn't let it. The gander tends to be a little bigger than the female, and he stretched his neck out threateningly, if you can do that with your neck. And the egret gave up. It just went back to where it had come from, and a wild turkey crossed the road then, and the geese looked the other way. A meadowlark sang. This would be a western meadowlark, and it sang, "Have you planted your wheat yet?" And I heard that years ago when I was out in North Dakota. A farmer was talking, and western meadowlarks were singing everywhere. And I said, is there a good mnemonic for that? I'd had some through the years as a young birder, but they were all, they weren't easy to wield. It was a tough thing. And he said, yeah, have you planted your wheat yet? So that's maybe not the best one around here where it's mostly corn and beans, but it's the one I'm going to use. Lou Jean Ingham of Hayward said she was so happy to see rose-breasted grosbeaks. Jim is a Fillmore Central school principal, and I want to say he is K through 6 school principal, and he sent me a video of an odd sound, and it was coming from trees, and he was wondering what in the world that was. He couldn't figure it out or find anything. And I think, Jim, you had to grow up with a great horned owl as I did. And it was just kind of an odd sound. I don't think you'll find it online anywhere. I shouldn't say that, because you can find everything online somewhere if you got like 17 days to look for it. But it was just a really odd sound, and kind of it wasn't a loud sound, so it was kind of not muted, but it was certainly quieted down, and it was a great horned owl. Cindy Drill of North Mankato said on Saturday, after hearing both an oriole and a catbird call at the park, the reinforcements arrived today after the rain stopped. We had catbird, rose-breasted grosbeaks, orioles all drop into the backyard. This past week has been steady with white-throated sparrows skulking in the growing perennials or under the bird feeders, clay-colored and chipping sparrows, and a handful of pine siskins. I haven't yet had a hummingbird but watched diligently And then later she said our first ruby-throated hummingbird appeared on Sunday. I had only just removed feeders I'd hung early for cleaning, so I quickly prepared another. I had a few hanging baskets out, and the neighbors still have crab apple blossoms and lilacs, so hopefully it will stick nearby. I also got to see handsome Harris's sparrows a few times yesterday. They appear more skittish in the open than the white throats, but did spend some time pecking under the bird feeder. An odd thing occurred to me yesterday as well. In the last few days, there have been no chickadees at my feeders are calling in the trees. They are so frequent that you nearly ignore them, but the absence is notable. Well, I hope, Cindy, that the chickadees are just busy with all those things that prospective parents go through. So I hope I hope they're still around there. They're just working hard. Susan Wistie. I've known Susan for, I'm not even going to say how long, because she lives in Duluth now. And she said, my yard is full of rock doves, grackles, and starlings. She was listening when everybody was talking about all the various birds. And she was indicating she didn't have them. She had rock doves, grackles, and starlings. She said, Duluth has taken down so many trees in my neighborhood that since the redpolls left, we mostly have the marauders at the feeders. I do have three mourning doves that try to get a place at the table, though. Happy spring, everyone. Well, happy spring, Susan. Ellendale Jim Loggison. Jim says, we enjoyed listening to owl hooting to each other in February. Then a female nested on a platform high on our silo. She had two owlets who seemed to enjoy watching us in the yard. I'm not very impressed with her nest, not much to it and no cover from the rain. They're quite big compared to the adult and look ready to fledge in the nest. I hope they stick around. We enjoy watching them. Yeah, Jim, they don't build a nest, so whatever they can find that somebody else has maybe built a little bit of it, they just take it over. So they spend no time. I'm sure, I shouldn't say that. I'm sure they spend a lot of time considering where they're going to nest, but they spend no time appreciating the aesthetics of their nest. They just move in. Henry Hinchcliffe saw some greater white-fronted geese at the Alt and Pencava marshes in Maurer County. Ethan Hewlett saw a bay-breasted warbler at Myrie Big Island State Park. Paul Sukanek was in Seal County. He saw, I believe it's Saco Farm, S-A-C-O. He saw a summer tanager, a Eurasian tree sparrow, and an olive-sided flycatcher all at that farm. Matt Mars of Albert Lee sent me a photo of a rose-breasted grosbeak and a Baltimore oriole. He was happy to have them back. Connor Langan in Pioneer Park in Freeborn County saw an olive-sided flycatcher. Our friend Micah said on May 4th, hi Al, feeders out, just wanted to report my first orioles of the year and one hummingbird today. Brad Amendroff saw at least bittern in Steel County. Karen Sundell Bartz of Albert Lee showed me a photo of chickadee eggs in a bluebird box. And the chickadee eggs, these are black-capped chickadees, of course. They're whitish, creamish, cream-colored maybe, with brown speckling. You guys, I'm like a lot of you. I have gone with my lovely bride to the paint store, and we're looking for white paint, and the friendly clerk there takes us over and shows us complete wall of these little things
white.
That are all white.
Yeah.
And which white are you looking for? So when it comes to describing chickadee eggs, I all of a sudden I'm in that paint store again going, is it that color? Jerry Victoria of Allendale said he is seeing indigo buntings and red-headed woodpeckers in his yard. Brad Amendroff saw a stilt sandpiper in Dodge County. Dave Bartke, Dave and I have been friends a long time, saw a least bittern in Steel County. Paul Sukanek saw a long-tailed duck. Now, if you look in some of your old books, it might say Old Squaw in there. They changed the name to long-tailed here some years ago. And it was at Goose Lake Park in Waseca County. Jeff Doyle, Jeff is from Michigan. Jeff and I have worked at storytelling festivals around the country, and he tells a story about a blue ape that's really great. Jeff said the chimney swifts arrived in mass at my home on May 1st, 9 p.m. was chimney time, a wonderful sight, May 1st, spring. And Margaret Swenson said, she's from Albert Lea, my backyard is a veritable explosion of birds. Yesterday's highlight, a golden wing warbler working through choke cherry branches not 10 feet from my desk. Exquisite. And yeah, that's a wonderful bird to see, so it's worthy of celebration, Peggy. So I hope your husband will take you out and buy you whatever meal you like, because you should celebrate that somehow. A listener just said, when do wild turkeys lay eggs? We have our turkey. We have a yard turkey. Her name is Tula. My wife named her, and she just hangs around here, and she's...
How long have you had Tula is what I want to know. Has Tula been down for a few years, or...?
No, just we think for the year. We think she was one of the young ones born here last year.
Got
in
it.
The yard, and they all left. But she stayed here all winter just to torment the cat at the window, I think. I don't know what's going on between those two. I think they have kind of a love-hate relationship. And she looks in the egress window, and the cat watches her, and then they both fall asleep. So it's kind of like they're watching NFL game or something. So but she comes in, and I'm sure she's nesting here somewhere. And now I haven't seen her for a couple of days, so she might have laid enough eggs, because the breeding season goes from mid-April to mid-May. So, boy, we're right in the middle of that. And it depends on the weather. And hens will lay between 8 and 15 eggs. And as you might expect, it's one per day. And they will lay those from mid-April to, maybe mid-June at the latest. And they don't start incubating until that last egg is laid. So, and Tula, she will incubate them for 28 days. When the eggs hatch, the chicks leave the nest with the hen within a day, and the chicks feed themselves immediately, but they still depend on the hen for warmth and protection. Ducks, geese, and pheasants also have precocial hatchlings. And that means they need to incubate their eggs all at the same time, regardless of when they lay the eggs, so that all the babies can leave the nest quickly because of great vulnerability in the nest. So if they started incubating right away, you might have one. If you have 15 eggs, you got one that's 2 weeks older than the other ones, and man, I don't want to be incubated anymore. It's too hot under there, and you'd still be hatching those, so it'd just be a terrible thing. You wouldn't be able to go off and protect your babies. So they need to have this so they all can run away at the same time. It's just a wonderful thing to see. I like turkeys. I think they're beautiful, and I look at the colors that is in a turkey, and oh my gosh, it's breathtaking, the plumage that they have. So I'm happy to have her as company. She's we're not close personal friends. She'll see me and she'll watch me, but then if I take a step in her direction, she's gone. So, and that's the way it should be. But she loves coming under the bird feeders and just hoovering up everything that falls under the feeders. There are no bird seed leftovers, because I have squirrels and a turkey, and they eat everything between them. So, and that's good. I don't want all that stuff on the ground. Karen, I got one that's kind of a gardener-like thing.
Yes.
Somebody said, why does a tree have so many branches? And I think it's just because they stick together. It would be my answers. But, branches help transport water, sugar, and nutrients to the leaves and the canopy of the tree. So I imagine a tree kind of knows how many branches it needs, and we're always out there cutting them off, too, so when we prune them. But... They need branches, otherwise they can't survive.
And all trees have different number of branches, too. It's just who they are. And sometimes it's good to prune them out so the other ones can get more sunshine. So, it's like a yeah, it's kind of a science is what you need to know. Speaking of trees, I did get a question about trees from our friend Jennifer and Lily today, so I want to ask you that now, if that's okay. Please ask the bird guy about walnut trees, specifically the twice yearly mess they make. We have a great, we have a giant black walnut tree in our yard. In the spring, it drops a whole bunch of little somethings. They make a big clumpy mess, and I always thought that they were seeds. But in the fall, the tree drops a metric butt ton of walnuts. Are those the seeds, or are the clumpy somethings that get everywhere the seeds? Thank you, Jennifer and Lily.
They are... I have a number of walnut trees in the woods here.
But do you get a butt ton of walnuts?
I know. The walnuts, the nuts themselves are the seeds, and that's the ones that the squirrels here drag them all over and plant them, and then I don't know what they do, get run over by a car or caught by a hawk or something. So all of a sudden I have more walnut trees. And they just, I have no shortage of walnut trees. They just keep coming up. And I suppose, to me, they're just gigantic trees, but I imagine they would be classified as a medium to large size species. And nuts, of course, are edible, so you can get out there, Jennifer and Lily, if you like walnuts. I think they're good. Some people say they're quite strong compared to the English walnuts, but I like them. They are great for lumbering. And the flowers are either male or female. And they have, what would you call them, Karen? Unremarkable catkins? They're not ones that just stop and say, oh, my gosh, that is just so beautiful.
Well, do you know what Jennifer and Lily call them? They call them a whole bunch of little somethings. So there's the word.
The female flowers develop into this fleshy green fruit, inch to 2 inches wide, and the fruit develop into clusters of two or three and eventually dry and a crack in the fall. And inside each one is a large edible nut, the walnut. So it's a valuable timber resource, but I'm guessing there's probably some catkins that they're seeing. And I like walnuts. I was almost hit on the head. I got hit on the shoulder, actually, by a little red squirrel that had a walnut years ago. And I'm hauling stuff out to the compost pile, going back and forth. And he's up there, and I can hear that because he's taking the husk off. And, of course, they're really little red squirrels. So this walnut, this looks like gigantic. It looks like Sisyphus pushing a boulder up the hill. And all of a sudden, he must have just said, well, this is a bad walnut. And he dropped it, hit me right in the shoulder.
Oh,
and
no.
I looked up, and he's looking down at me like, toss my walnut back up here, and that kind of thing. So I think it was on purpose, you know, like in the movie Jaws, that was no accident, as I heard somebody saying that, even though there was nobody there. We all hear people that aren't there, and somebody said that was no accident.
Now, wasn't it Isaac Newton who the apple fell on their head, and then they discovered gravity? So what did you discover from this nut falling on your head?
I discovered if I'd been Isaac Newton and that walnut would have hit me in the head, I'd have been out cold and wouldn't have discovered gravity at all. So, no, I don't know what I discovered. That little red squirrel, I guess, probably didn't like me is what I discovered. I don't know why. I'd never done anything to him, but he had a midden over in that area, and that's where the little red squirrel put all its food. It's like the pantry for them, and it can be gigantic around the base of a tree, and they'll put toadstools, mushrooms, whatever they can find in there, and they're good eaters. And I was getting too close, and I think he was probably just going to yell at me, and he forgot that he had the walnut in his mouth, and that's why it dropped, because there are... They're very vocal, and they don't like you getting anywhere near that midden because they protect it not only from other squirrels but from humans and everything else. And they do it by yelling, and they're very good at yelling. They holler and they holler and they holler until they finally say, oh, I'm I'm leaving, there's a place in Fairmont that I like to walk around one of the lakes. And there's a spot on that trail where there's a huge midden not too far from the trail. And that little squirrel has called me every name that a squirrel could call a person. And it just doesn't like me there. And I think because I stopped to take a picture of that midden one day with just with my cell phone. And I think squirrels are smart enough to remember who did that. So it still, it thinks of me as a midden thief and lets me know each time I get in that area.
Hey,
somebody might say, well, what happens to a midden if the squirrel dies? I think another one just moves in.
Yeah. I wanted to say Jennifer and Lily had a really nice P.S. here after the question. They say, we want to let you know how much we love your show and KMSU in general. We have lived in the area for just over a year, and we listen every day. We're not able to donate during this pledge drive, but we love you guys so much. We appreciate you and what you do. And the bird guy is a national treasure and must be protected at all costs. Smiley face.
Oh,
that's so sweet. And you know what? That means a lot to us. You know, we appreciate the pledge so much, but hearing from you and that you appreciate the show means a lot to us as well.
Jennifer and Lily, thank you. Your moving here has made this a much nicer area, I think. So welcome. We're glad you're here. And when you're here for another 37 years or so, they won't say you live in the old Sorensen place anymore. It'll actually be your place. That's how it works in these small towns around here. You're always, till that one generation is pretty much shuffled off this mortal coil, you'll always be, oh, those are the people that live at the, nice people, but they live at the old Sorensen place. So it's just one of those things.
And then,
hey, everyone,
don't forget, our friend John always has something for us.
John
in New Ulm said, almost comedy, as most people know, scrap metal theft is on the rise. It's gotten so bad, someone tried to steal copper from David Copperfield. Have a good day and a better tomorrow. And don't forget, without you, there's no KMSU, John. Thanks, John.
Thanks, John. What would we do without John? So we appreciate you. Hey, everyone, thanks for sitting on the front porch with me. I will give my wife some macaroni art I made for Mother's Day. She'll be surprised. You remember when we used to all make that?
Yes.
We made it at Bible camp. We always had something on a board or towards my last years at Bible camp, it was cardboard because I guess there were some budget cuts. But she will definitely be surprised. And I think of my mother. My mother wasn't vertically enhanced. I teased her that she was so short her feet could be seen on her driver's license photo. But I always knew if I put my heart on the table, my mother would never step on it. And she would brag about me. She said, Alan has always been smart. He was a toddler when he first grabbed that electric fence, and no one had to tell him to let go. So I took that. And she nearly cried when I gave her a painted rock and some dandelions for Mother's Day one year. And I think it was because I'd given her a painted rock and some dandelions for Mother's Day is why she teared up. But I was proud to be Lucille's boy, and you know what? I'm still proud to be Lucille's boy. Happy Mother's Day soon to all of you mothers out there.
Well, thank you, Al. We appreciate all our moms. Whether they're here or not, they have made us who we are today. So we appreciate them.
That's right. I enjoyed your company, everyone. Remember, Heartland is what we're driving past. Do something wild today. Get out there, look at a bird. Karen and Dwayne, congratulations again. Thanks for all you do. You do make the world a better place.
So do you, Al. So do you. And we appreciate you. And thanks for joining us. And we'll chat with you next week. Have a great weekend.
All right. Bye-bye.